Harold I knew fairly well, personally, much better than I knew. And Harold is the backbone of the Drucker movement. You know, Drucker really went up to GE and practically copied Harold's, the four volumes Harold had put together for guide the manuals of management up there. I forget what they call them. Mm-hmm. And in the practice of management, you'll find that the first issues, but Peter Drucker said, well, Harold Smitty is the godfather of this book. And I said, sure, he sure as hell was. The management letter and all those things, Rambio and all those things, were Harold's codification. I don't know the original Harold, but he codified and brought it to the fore. So I don't think Smitty was ever the man that Barnard was. He's a great man, don't get me wrong, but Barnard was a Da Vinci mind, and just a few of those in this generation.
How would you compare Barnard to someone like Herb Simon, who's definitely has such a brilliant mind?
Well, I think Herb is absolutely brilliant among the, you know, he's brilliant, and he used to be so damned arrogant. It is, you know, if you read the letters between when he was about 30 years old, reading his letters to Barnard, there was such an arrogance in him, I got a kick out of it. But Herb picked up from Barnard the decision as the essence of management. I remember talking to him in 1958. He said he was going to simulate artificial intelligence, which is the ultimate of decision-making. Mm-hmm. And he's been on that kick, and he worked with Bruner in psychology up at Harvard, and he mastered advanced mathematics pretty well, and he's a brilliant guy. Except I don't think he deserved the Nobel Prize for the administrative behavior, because that's basically Barnard's book.
I believe that was his dissertation as well, Bill.
It might have been. I remember when it first came out, he was teaching at IIT.
Uh-huh.
I was teaching at Chicago at the time. Uh-huh. And it could be a remod, but he reworked it on the basis of Barnard's comments. Uh-huh. And it was basically Barnard. You read it, read Barnard.
Did you know Alex Babalus?
Do I know him personally? No. I know only about, but I know Hal, who did his dissertation under Alex.
Okay. We've got a student who's going through that early communication work that they did.
Well, that was Leavitt's study, was the research. Babalus was sort of an intellectual analysis.
Uh-huh. Well, before we let you go, we talked about Erwick last week. Can you comment on Lynn for us?
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Well, what kind of person do you think Erwick really was? He came across, we had some videotape, and of course...
A man who had a chip on his shoulder.
And why do you feel that was there?
Why?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know, you know, how much I should divulge to your PhD students, because he was a human being. Well, Lynn was at the York Works at Roundtree Cocoa under Benjamin Seaborn Roundtree, who was a fantastic human being. He was close to Barnard. And that's where Sheldon was, and north of the whole management movement England got a thrust there. And then when Feline decided he'd set up the 20th Century Fund with the ILO and put the office in Geneva for an international management movement, it was old Seaborn Roundtree got Erwick as appointed as manager of that. So it was a communication center. And Lynn had a very unhappy thing, as he told me. I don't think it's too confidential. Like, because everybody seems to know it. His wife had an affair with a public servant. And he was shattered by it. He was really shattered. And as a matter of fact, as divergence, that's how Greg Kunis came into the literature. You're the expert on Greg Kunis. But it was Lynn met Greg Kunis's wife. And from then on, a friendship formed between Greg Kunis and the family. You know more about that than I do. Uh-huh. Anyway, after the war, he did an analysis of civil service in England, and a lot of the psychological problems came through, I think. He wasn't knighted. He felt he should have been knighted, and he ended up marrying a woman named Betty Tooth, who of the Tooth Breweries in Australia, set his home up basically in Australia.
Now, you visited him at his home, didn't you?
I spent many hours with Lynn, many hours.
what
maybe
I thought.
$40 or more.
Okay.
Most of it on tape, too.
Fascinating man.
But he had this chip on his shoulder.
I knew he was bitter about not being knighted. He was pretty open about that.
And I traced it back to the earlier days. He was an only child. His main sport was boxing. He was he started writing early and was really not a original thinker. He was a man who disseminated the literature on management. He was not, he wrote that one book, I forget what he called, Essentials of Management, and it was sort of like Alice in Wonderland's Mad Hatter Tea Part. So the Mad Hatter says, I said it once, I said it twice, therefore it must be true. And he picked up Anderson, I forget, Mooney and Riley, and there were four authors he kept quoting, and therefore it was true,
Do you have a question you'd like to ask this group?
Yeah, is this a worthwhile experience? I don't know.
It is.
We had to fight to keep the management course in the curriculum, and this is the second time we've done it, and I'd like to think that it is.
Hey, well, I hope so. I don't know how I'm contributing, but you see, if you want to add, the thing that, if you're PhD students, the real thing is to have this genuine interest in the field, and that's what Barnard had. That's what Lewin had. They loved it. Everything was a managerial problem if you look at it properly. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you go, you learn. You keep building on that field of knowledge. And I don't know how you get that across in a PhD program today where they've got to take so much quantitative stuff and so many courses. I don't know if LSU, but it's very difficult to...
They're shaking their heads.
Truthfully, sir, don't you think that everything is perhaps a marketing problem?
A marketing major said that. Bill, how do you feel your appreciation for history has aided your understanding of management?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I've learned it through reading. The history of management has given me sort of Barnard, in particular, Lewin, have validated many of the things that I found I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you... I did that book in 57 on wage incentives, and I didn't know anything about these areas, really, at that time, in any depth. And I found in one chapter I just wrote an open systems theory book, and I didn't know it, because I was trying to synthesize 26 factories, and then I wrote a paper on organizational constructs, which sort of captured my philosophy, and that was back, I wrote it in 55.
Awesome.
And, so I don't know where these things come from. I just find that the history gives meaning to what I've been thinking.
Uh-huh.
So there's probably a selectivity. Like, I don't really cotton to Ehrlich's writings at all, although I did a book with him,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't feel he had the genuine scholarly, or not scholarly, how can I put it? Just a real basic curiosity and love of learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, next week we're going to talk to Bill White, an old colleague of yours, and I guess you and Bill have known one another for a long time.
Nobody knows Bill that well. I mean, you work with him or you talk to him. I don't really know him that well. I did a couple of oral histories with him.
Uh-huh. Is there anything we should ask him?
Well, let's see. What can you ask Bill White? He's probably the most illustrious sociologist alive.
No question. Is Robert Merton still alive?
I think Merton died.
Uh-huh.
I'm not certain. But no, I think Bill has held every honor. Well, he also started as a journalist and as a writer more than anything else.
Uh-huh.
He does very well.
Very well.
He was just hit with polio up in North Boston when he was doing the Street Corner Society, and that has severely limited his ability to get around.
Uh-huh. I've only met him, I guess, twice.
But he's a very shy man.
Well, he accepted very readily, and I've never asked him to do anything like this before, and we're going to read... But
get hold of the book organization, published about 1970, which he has a whole chapter on where he's coming from.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to read The Restaurant Study and Donald Roy and Melville Dalton and...
Well, that's the Chicago era.
Uh-huh.
And that was the really a fascinating era of the Zeit.
did you get? Well, we were, our class is running short here.
I was involved with White, but I was teaching there. I was an instructor there, and I was out at Searing, Western Electric, all those places.
Uh-huh.
With my finger in the pie.
Well, one more legitimate question, because we did talk about Worthy today. Were you part of it, that Sears study that Jim reported?
No. I studied Sears, and I knew Clarence Caldwell, who was Jim's boss.
Uh-huh.